think about your safety net today. Like, if things go wrong, we rely on these invisible systems, you know, unemployment insurance, healthcare, bank loans.
Yeah, exactly. But 100 years ago on the prairies, your safety net wasn't a system at all. It was literally just the people sitting around your kitchen table.
Right. And if that table was empty, you were just entirely exposed to the elements, both economic and physical. So welcome to this custom deep dive into family history. Today, we're exploring the life of Emily, the youngest daughter of Morzy and Sophie Leroux.
It really is an incredible story.
It is. Her story is basically a true masterclass in pioneer resilience and navigating sudden disaster.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to understand Emily's resilience, we really have to look at her early training, right?
Absolutely. Being the youngest of a massive pioneer family meant she was, like, rigorously drilled in essential skills from day one. She learned to sew, mend, preserve food. She even helped raise her nieces.
Wow.
Yeah, so she wasn't just doing chores. She was accumulating the basic currency of prairie survival. And it looks like she cashes in that currency right as her adult life begins. So in late 1922, things are actually looking up. She marries Patrick Nolan, who was a hired hand working on her father's ranch.
Right, and they're starting their life together.
Exactly. She gets pregnant with her first child, but within months, tragedy just completely hits. Right around New Year, Patrick dies of pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
And the detail here is just startling to me. He got sick because he refused to wear proper long underwear.
Yeah, out of sheer pride, unfortunately.
That is so wild.
It is, but we have to remember why that was so fatal in a 1920s Saskatchewan winter.
Yeah.
Today, you know, you get a chill, maybe a chest infection, and you take antibiotics.
Sure, you just go to the doctor.
Right. But back then, exposure in sub-zero temperatures severely weakened your immune system. A cold turned rapidly into pneumonia, and without modern medicine, your lungs just couldn't fight it off.
It's like having the foundation of your house wash away right after you finish the roof. So I have to push back here. She is suddenly widowed, pregnant with her son, Herve, and there's obviously no life insurance or widow's pension. How does she practically survive the very next day?
What's fascinating here is how the pioneer family structure functioned as an immediate emergency response. Moving back in with her parents wasn't, you know, a failure to launch.
But like we might see it today.
Exactly. It was the only insurance policy that existed. Her extended family immediately absorbed the shock of Patrick's death. They provided shelter and food so she could safely give birth.
So the family gets her through widowhood, but then she marries Isidore, and they face a completely different kind of challenge, which is just daily grinding poverty. The notes say they relied on $7 to $8 in government relief. How do you even feed a family on that?
You barely do. I mean, that relief wasn't cash you could just spend anywhere. It was heavily restricted to bulk staples like flour and sugar.
So no fresh bread or, like, treats?
None. You had to physically bake and create every single calorie your family consumed from raw, cheap ingredients.
Which I guess explains why she had to feed her chickens with mere table scraps just to get a few eggs. They couldn't afford a single bag of feed.
That's right. Every penny was accounted for.
But here's what confuses me. Isidore was working away from home, making $15 a month. If he had an income, why were he and young Herve also out chopping wood?
Well, because that $15 barely covered their debts and absolute minimums.
Yeah.
To generate any extra pennies at all, they went into the coulees, those steep, brush-filled prairie ravines, to harvest willow pickets.
And they were doing this by hand?
Yes. They chopped them with bucksaws, sharpened every single one by hand, and then hauled them by wagon all the way to the town of Meota.
All for a payout of 1.5 cents per picket?
I mean, trying to support a family on 1.5 cent pickets is like trying to fill a bathtub using only a thimble. That's a great way to put it. The caloric energy required to chop and haul a wagon full of wood almost certainly outweighed the calories you could afford to buy with a cent and a half.
It just doesn't add up.
No, it doesn't. If we connect this to the bigger picture, you see exactly why the barter economy was their actual lifeline. You couldn't survive on those pennies. You survived on mutual aid. Emily's brother George actually stepped in and loaned them cows.
Wait, loaning cows? That's incredible. So it bypasses the cash economy completely, giving the children milk without spending any of Isidore's wages?
Precisely. And it wasn't just physical survival they had to manage. It was the intense mental isolation. They survived that through social anchors.
Like the Sunday buggy rides, right?
Yeah.
The ones to Jackfish Lake for mass.
Yes. Those were rare, vital connections to the outside world. It was a chance to see neighbors and just feel human again.
It's hard to imagine sustaining that level of grueling physical and mental effort. And sadly, it did take a toll. Emily passed away at just 49, which made her the youngest of Malise and Sophie's children to go.
She did, yeah. But she accomplished something monumental before she died. She lived long enough to see her son, Irv, and her daughter, Rain, established in their own homes.
Wow!
She successfully absorbed the worst shocks of the pioneer era so the next generation wouldn't have to.
She really was the ultimate shock absorber for her family, which, you know, leaves you with a thought for today. If all our modern systems vanish tomorrow and you had to rely entirely on community bartering and grit, which of Emily's pioneer survival skills do you think would be most vital to you?